if you want me, then this is what I come with. And I'm the best, so you got to want me.
Welcome to Push In, the Cinevic podcast. I'm your host, Joyce Klein, coming to you from the unceded territory of the Lekwungen-speaking peoples, otherwise known as beautiful Victoria, British Columbia, Canada. To actually list all the accomplishments of protean intermedia artist Leslie Marshall would take up this entire podcast. Let's just say she's an award-winning filmmaker whose films have screened in 40 festivals nationally and internationally, whose music videos have been featured on sites like Rolling Stone, American Songwriter, Vice, and Exclaim, whose projection art has been performed at the National Arts Center, Montreal Jazz Fest, Centre Fee, and galleries in New York City, the Netherlands, and across Canada. Her production company, Maven Network, M-A-V-N, has worked with Netflix, Vox Media, TD Bank, and MLB, among others. She works in VR and AR. She's a creative and much sought-after editor. She's a musician. She, you know, let's just let her speak for herself. Hi, Leslie. Welcome to Pushin.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Scene one.
One of the things I love about your work is that it can be deliciously quirky and filled with amazing details, but even at its zaniest, it's always somehow elegant.
I love that you read that because that is how I read myself. I love that you take that as a takeaway because I do identify as someone who comes from more of a punk community or avant-garde. Filmmaking is my most legitimate art form. And in that it is considered to be a part of the media arts. Even within the media arts, I don't sometimes fit in so well as I age. And because I do so much work, like I try and just make as much work as I possibly can. Cause like I can't stop. I am. And I create, to be honest, I am very much like a grassroots artist and I like working, you know, where I am and making pieces about where I am and with all the great artists I get to meet in these places like you. I'm excited to be working with you soon.
Disclaimer, Leslie's going to be editing a short film for me. What strikes me most in everything you do is this sense of freedom to experiment. Where does that come from?
Well, it's funny. It took me a long time to identify as an artist. I say I've only been doing it for the last six years or so, fully entering my 30s. I was like, okay, I guess I'm an artist. I guess this is what this is. And so my artistry, I think I associate with that idea of experimentation, the drive to constantly be challenging, I don't know, and creating new ways of seeing. I'm just like a mad scientist and I'm constantly, yeah, my art practice is very much built around experimentation and very much motivated by technology in that experimentation. Yeah, I guess I latch on to technology or ideas around technology, and then I try and build them out.
Scene two.
I want to start off by cursing you for creating such fantastic work. Your music videos were so compelling. I had to watch them all. And by the time I watched your short, Murder at the Circus, I was down the rabbit hole for the rest of the night.
Oh, wow.
How did Murder at the Circus come about?
Well, Murder at the Circus is the second short that I make with a collaborator, Matt Miwa. My collaborator, Matt Miwa, actually was the person who like pulled me into filmmaking as a professional and as a technician because he got a grant from an arts council and he saw me running around with a VHS camera a lot. We worked at an independent movie cinema in Ottawa together. And I'd run around punk shows with a VHS camera. And he was like, you know how to use the camera. Come with me. I have a grant. I don't want to touch anything to do with the camera or the edit. And so I was like, I know how to do that. And so Murder at the Circus was our second piece. Matt came from theater and I have a theater background as well. And we have so much a theater to video aesthetic was what we were going for. And I wanted to do something I usually do, my work usually has some sort of tie-in with technology or the format that we are engaging with. And so for Murder at the Circus, it was about compressing the large scale of what like a theater backdrop would be, our actual characters in playing in front of that, and then miniatures in front of the camera. So it was like a forced perspective piece. It was very ambitious.
Scene three.
You're a technician and a parent of a preschooler. How's that working for you?
It's very, very, very difficult. For me in film, especially when I work in the professional industry, which requires me to be on set from 12 to 15 hours a day, I have to have a parent that can, or a co-parent that, or a caregiver, someone who can, you know, pick up and drop off for daycare and be there to care for LJ. Yeah, it makes a lot of personal challenges that I had to take an honest look at, like, yeah, my career choices and my personal drive. I realized that I can't not make films is what I realized. And so in order to be making films, working in the media industry in the capacity that I want to be and to be achieving my professional goals as an artist, I needed a caregiver and a partner who would help with that. And it does change, and we have a lot more friends and collaborators who help with our childcare needs, especially on set, because I do ask for it more and more. One of the things I'm really kind of fighting for these days is talking about including childcare as a part of service on set. There's a lot of parents on set that need childcare, and I don't think it's a very far step from kind of the sets that we are creating these days in terms of like hiring a nanny or an educator or an ECE, someone who can be with children of staff, even if it's just like after a daycare pickup or if it's working into the long hours and stuff like that, you know. And people are really forthright with helping, which is great. It really kind of shows kind of the people you're working with when you say that to a producer, like, I'm actually going to need childcare at this time, or I can't start until 8:30 because I have a drop off at that time. And people are a lot of the time more than willing to make those accommodations or just making the schedule work. I hate even to refer to it as an accommodation because it should just be thought of as a normal part of our culture and society.
A necessity.
Yeah. It's like, if you want me, then this is what I come with, and I'm the best. So you got to want me.
Scene four.
Next month, you're going to be teaching a 2-day workshop at Cinevic on industry practices, problem solving, and on-set sound and camera. And the workshop says it's going to be led by employing terminology of anti-oppression-based filmmaking and horizontal leadership structures. Do you want to describe those a little for everybody?
You need a lot of money to make films sometimes. Barriers are always being broken down, and there's a lot of scrappy filmmaking, which I love, 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 which is how I got into it, really. But yeah, and kind of breaking down those barriers has been a part of my career since day one. So when I say like teaching from an anti-oppression based framework, it's basically like removing sexist, homophobic, transphobic, ableist language on set. Because we see a lot of like antiquated language that'll say even simple things like cameraman or like sound man, just making sure that we're not using terms like that anymore. Because we have found through communication studies that hearing these languages and reinforcing stereotypes is a detriment to the industry, and it does promote more exclusionary practices. And then in terms of the horizontal, like a hierarchy structure, it's like removing the hierarchy on film sets and understanding that each person has a job and we're responsible for those jobs. And by working together without, I guess, kind of the ego of a hierarchy of like, oh, I'm the director, I'm in charge, I can yell at you. That doesn't really work well when you work with people in really intense environments, because film sets can get quite intense, long hours, and you have to be very focused.
Tail slate.
Thank you so much, Leslie. It's been really inspiring to discover your work and learn more about balancing parenthood and career.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
And that's a wrap. You can find links to Leslie and her production company in the show notes. And you can help promote the talented filmmakers we feature by liking, subscribing, or 5-star rating us so others can find their interviews more easily. that's it for now. Join me, your host, Joyce Klein, for the next episode of Push In, the Cinevic Podcast.